Listening to Smart Animal Talk with me, Deb Wolf, your host. And today I'm talking to my old friend, Dusty Rainbolt, whom I've never met. Dusty just reminded me that we've never hugged each other. And Dusty, I want to ask you, because you are the cat wrangler, author of Cat Wrangling Made Easy and Ghost Cats, and we're talking to Dusty today about some of that. But I want to ask you, are cat people, because I was surprised you said we've never hugged. I think dog people are huggers. I tend to think cat people as a little less of a huggy crowd. Is that wrong?
Well, I've never really thought about it, but I do know that when we go to the Cat Riders Association conferences, we hug a lot.
Okay.
I think that cat people are like cats and they're individuals.
Yes, but the approach, and because we're talking to you, we're going to get right into cat behavior, even if we're not supposed to, even if today's topic is something
even
else.
If I'm not ready, okay.
No, you're always ready for this. Now, with it, like you approach a dog, you right away greet it. You go directly to it, so you're showing it. You're not trying to sneak about. You're being direct and honest, and you put your hand out in a closed fist for him to sniff, and, you know, that's kind of the way you do it with dogs. With cats, well, that's very rude. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Cat and dog manners are totally different. With a cat, what I found, approaching a cat that I don't know, and even my Shire cats, I call them, and then I stop and stoop down. And then that way I'm much smaller, and I usually put my hand out and let them approach my hand. So I don't put it in front of them. I let them make the decision. And if they decide not to, then it's their option. No means no.
Yes, not every cat wants to greet every person. Now, about that, is it coincidence? Are we noticing something that's not there when we say that our cats seem to go right to the person who is most allergic or most not interested in greeting the cat? What's going on with that?
I love this question. I get it all the time. And the funny thing is, if there's a cat and there's a gathering of people, you've got the people that are going, "Oh, kitty, to me, please let me pet you." And they're reaching and they're grabbing and they're wanting to pick the kitty up. And that's just rude. That's like the dog coming up and sniffing his butt. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, the poor guy who is either fearful of cats or he's got an allergy, he is looking away. "Oh, please, kitty, do not come to me. Do not come to me," which is perfect. It's perfect cat manners. So they're going, "Hey, this guy knows how to talk to me." So if there's a person out there that doesn't like cats or would prefer the cat not approach them, staring at them is a good way to stop that.
Oh, that's interesting. So the person who doesn't want the cat is ignoring them, getting away from them, so giving the cat space, avoiding eye contact, not speaking to the cat, but actually thinking messages inadvertently, like, "Please don't come near me." And the cat thinks he's in a room of people talking to him and chatter and people invading his space, and he picks up this one lone mental message coming at him. He's, "Hey, why don't you want me to come over there? I better check you out."
What I think it is, this is the only person that's being polite to the cat, because staring isn't polite. But we humans don't like staring because it is generally a dominant thing. So if we're staring at the cat or we're reaching or grabbing at the cat, this is not good. I mean, they don't like that. But this one poor person is showing perfect feline manners. He is not looking at the cat. He's not reaching for the cat. And so the cat's going, "This guy understands me," when this poor guy actually just wants you to go away.
So if that guy were to think, and were to look at the cat, give the cat eye contact, and to think in a very directed way, "Go away," the cat wouldn't bother him, would it?
You know, I don't know. But I do know that if he stares at it, the kitty and or possibly approaches it or reaches for him, he's not going to be any more desirable as company than the cat ladies that are going, "Here, kitty, kitty." So that's really a better way to approach it, is just be a little more forward, and hopefully the cat will not like that and leave you alone.
Well, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, hey, this lady could help me with my cats. One of my cats is a bully. One of my cats is a victim. One of my cats hides under the bed. One of my cats won't use the litter box. If that's what you're thinking right now, if you've got more than one cat and you're going to pretend to me that they always, every time, always, always, always use the litter box, I don't believe you. You need cat wrangling made easy. That's right. Cat wrangling made easy is the way to do it. And you will fix your cat's problems and it'll be so much better in your house. You'll have harmony. And instead of punishing the victim, which you're probably doing right now, you'll figure out who's really the bully and how to diffuse all that aggression. So yeah, go for that. Cat wrangling made easy. But today we're going to talk a little more about ghost cats, because I talked about it last week, Dusty. We had on Michelle and Dennis, and they're coming on later today. They were talking about afterlifedata.com, which is data about ghosts, basically. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about pet ghosts, and I kept mentioning ghost cats. And so, you know, the cool thing I find about your book is it's not just other people's stories where you're sort of hoping the reader will believe. It's, I love the section where you actually list places anybody can go to. Mm-hmm. I think it was a hotel, maybe a library. There were a bunch of these public places where you could actually, you know, book a room with a ghost cat presence and try your luck at meeting him. And I think that's so cool. So I understand we're coming to the end of this segment, and we're going to be inviting Michelle and Dennis and Diane, who's a medium, onto the show next. But I understand that you're collecting stories. So do you want to give out the information? So anybody out there with a cat ghost story or a dog ghost story or whatever it is you're collecting, let's fish for it right now, Dusty.
Okay, well, yes, I'm wanting to do future books, and I need some wonderful stories. And so if anybody is interested, they can go to my website, dustycatwriter.com, and that's dustycatwriter.com, and leave me a message. And I would love to include your story. I mean, most of the people that told me these stories that are in Ghost Cats, I'd never met. But it's one thing that I find interesting is there is a commonality. You know, I mean, I was afraid I was going to get people who, maybe didn't really experience it or were making things up. But there's this common thread beneath everything, and you go, oh, my gosh. This is amazing.
You know, Dusty, that's what I found last week. And we have to go to break right now, but we'll be back in a second to talk about this. Last week, they were telling me about their data, all their stories, and they kept hitting on things like the cat, the feeling of the cat sleeping on the end of the bed, all this stuff that I remembered from your book. And it was like, well, all these people can't be making up the same stuff. So stay tuned and find out. Maybe you'll see your cat or your dog again, somebody who passed that you love. Stay tuned on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near, I love
you. NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And, well, we've got a full slate today. We're going for a walk on the wild side a little bit. We're going to be talking about ghost cats because we've got Dusty Rainbolt, author of Ghost Cats, and the stories she's compiled. She's collecting stories. So if you've got dog ghost stories or cat ghost stories or horse ghost stories, send them to her. And we've got Diane Gianlorenzo, who's coming with us to be our medium today and help us communicate, and Michelle and Dennis from AfterlifeData.com. They were on last week, and we found out so much commonality, as we were just saying with Dusty, between the stories. So welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Hi.
It's been a whole year since you were on.
It's been a while, Deborah. How you been?
Well, last time we were on, you told me I was going to fall in love with Jason. And Jason
hasn't shown up yet. I thought, I don't remember that.
Yes. My producer reminded me when he booked the show today. He said, "Have you met Jason?" And I said, "No, Jason."
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, he'll be coming then.
He'll
be around.
All right.
But
okay.
I definitely remember reading the Rottweiler with you.
Oh yeah, my Rottie who passed.
Your big guy.
Well,
that is on the other side.
I have a gray cat. A gray cat with a short tail who's quite fat, and she's gone missing lately. And I don't know if she's around or not, so I was going to ask you to read her.
Oh, wow, interesting. I've been doing lots of recovery, lost animals lately, so that's interesting that came up. What's his name or her name?
Her name was Jasmine. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I usually start with, I do feel she's still around. She's definitely still around. Did she just go missing within the last couple of weeks?
No, you know what? We had a litter of puppies born here, and she was really curious about the litter, and she sort of went out, disappeared when they were relocated to the barn. So I think she was living near them for the longest time, but all those puppies are gone and sold now. That was in May. I think she spent the whole summer outside. Yeah.
Wow, I feel her pretty close for 2 weeks now. So she's still around. We'll have to work more on that.
Well, we keep seeing her.
We
keep spotting her. Telling me,
coming my way lately.
You know, people keep saying, "Oh, we've seen her here and we've seen her there, and she was just on your back porch." But we don't know what's going on with her.
Yeah,
so,
I totally believe that because I feel her presence with you in the past 2 weeks. So
really?
I believe if you've been getting hits like that and people are telling you that, that's she's definitely around.
Oh boy,
Deborah.
Well,
yeah.
Yes, Michelle, please join us.
This is Dusty. Words of Diane, I think it would be a good idea for you to set out a live trap.
Yes. Well, I did try that, and I caught two of my other cats who were supposed to be inside, and so I discovered a way they got out, so that was good. But there's so much wildlife around here that I'm not having much luck with that. You know, once I caught a raccoon, I mean, they're... It's a little of a mixed bag, and you don't want to catch a skunk in a live trap. There's no easy way out of it. Really, there's not.
Yeah.
So, okay, but I like your suggestion. I keep sending out the energy and all that, but I think we're getting a little bit off topic because I know we're not supposed to be talking about my missing cat who's really still here, or the other cats who keep arriving here that aren't supposed to be here. We're supposed to be talking about ghosts today, and I guess I want to invite Michelle and Dennis to join us with AfterlifeData.com. That story that Dusty was talking about where there's more than one, where the cat's ghost presence is felt at the bottom of the bed with this depression, this weight in the bed. You've got a lot of that too, don't you?
Well, we've heard of that, yes. Actually, I have a friend of mine that actually experienced that a few days after her cat died. She actually was asleep and felt it next to her. And then when she woke up, she felt it go off the bed. So, and it was a very real experience.
Well, what
that's
I have
found—that's something you hear a lot. Yeah.
Dusty, please share with us some of the other really common ones that you had.
Well, when I was soliciting stories for ghost cats, I went on a lot of lists that, you know, talk about, you know, pet psychics and paranormal experience and such, and I actually became interested in the paranormal a month after one of my foster cats died, and I felt something jump on the bed, and then the little feet as something walked, and then weight on my ankles where he always slept, and when I woke up in the morning, the weight was gone. There was nothing there with none of my other cats, and I was just amazed. And so when I started, when I was approached about writing the book, I put out a call for stories, and I thought that my experience was a unique one. But what I mm-hmm. found was I probably got 20 out of the 70 stories that had almost exactly the same occurrence. I mean, the cat jumping on the bed. Some of them were even cats that, I mean, the people didn't have cats. They had moved into a house, and the cat would jump on the bed. So
that's very interesting. Diane, when you're reading and you're asked mm-hmm. to figure out, like when I just did and I asked you about my cat, what is the difference between a live animal reading and an animal ghost reading? Like, how can you tell when you reach out and Jasmine says, yeah, I'm here, how can you tell if she's floating around as a spirit or if she's actually here pooping in the yard?
Anytime you ask a spirit that's crossed over if they're alive, and I learned this the hard way when I started doing mediumship and readings, they will instantly say I'm alive because the energy is so very similar that they don't really notice the difference, and they'll get offended if you ask if they're dead. So you actually have to, and you do this in remote viewing, which is something you use when you look for lost animals, is you'll step aside of them. And you'll look to see if the body, if there's a body you're looking at, or a living creature, a living in a body, like I just did with Jasmine. But when someone's crossed over, every medium or psychic, or like you said, with people that are getting ghost stories, like that you get, Dusty, everybody will, usually it's a very subtle difference when you do it day in and day out. But when you feel it, like you guys are talking about, where, you know, somebody who doesn't do it all the time, you know they're gone. It's called clear cognizant, where there's just a knowing there that this person is not in a body anymore.
You know, some of the stories Dusty wrote about were sort of part of an animal, like a head floating, or just or the body with no head, this kind of thing. So how can you be sure? Like, if the ghost thinks it has a body, would you see a body?
I don't think it's so much that they think they have a body. It's just that the energy is very real. They're so much very still here. It's just a different dimension. That a lot of times wherever the energy was strongest, and that happens also if you start to see an image or something, it's going to be where the energy was very pronounced. Maybe a certain part of them was stronger than another energetically in that chakra. And that'll usually be easier to see. And sometimes it's just something that you, the viewer or the reader or someone watching it, connects with. So if you're very heady, you would see their energy. You would start to see their brain and, like you said, around the head more so. So it has a lot to do with the person perceiving it as much as it has to do with the one communicating from the other side.
Well, we have to go to break. We'll be back with all of you, Michelle and Dennis from AfterlifeData.com, and Diane from DianeGianLorenzo.com, and Dusty Rainbow, DustyCatWriter.com, and me, DebWolf.net, DeborahWolfOnline.com, actually. And, so we'll be back to talk more about this. I want to hear more about what these all have in common. There's got to be truth in this. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
And anytime you're near.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And I'd like to invite you to check us out at Facebook, where Camp Good Dog shows dogs, all our happy campers, just pictures of them. You know, I know you're too far away to use us, but if you want to see dogs rolling in mud and playing in ponds and swimming and jumping and just kind of mugging for the camera, then go to Facebook, Camp Good Dog. Nothing to sell you, just for fun. So right now we've got Michelle and Dennis, and we've got Diane Gian Lorenzo, and we've got Dusty Rainbow, and we're all talking about spirits and ghosts and pets after they've passed. And Michelle and Dennis, we haven't heard enough from you today, and I know you've got loads and loads of data. So I'd like to invite you to start the conversation this segment.
Well, you know, I'm really intrigued by what we've been talking about. The information in the book, Ghost Cats, seems wonderful, and I have to admit I have not read it yet, but I can't wait to, because I'm looking at the contents, so it's very exciting.
Well, I wonder how much rings true for you. You know, there's it's so weird to me. Like, I had a couple of experiences that I sort of wrote off as dreams, and then I read Ghost Cats, and people were having very, very similar experiences. So, and it's not willed either. It's not something you decide you're going to do. It just happens. Sometimes not even your own animal. And I'm wondering, how often is that happening with your data? How often are people reporting these experiences where it's not even their animal?
We do hear a whole variety of different things. You know, usually the things that we've encountered most of the time is from people who are somehow connecting with their own animals. But that's not always the case. You know, you also have, you know, animal guides, right? So you could be connecting with those types of animals.
What do you mean? Like a totem? Like
yes.
Okay. Now that's an actual animal that comes and guides you through life? That is what? I'm not following, maybe.
Yes, it can help you. These animals, you know, are there just like the animals that are here with us on Earth, to help guide us, teach us in different ways. And it's a much more subtle way than we as humans connect with each other. But I think Dennis wanted to say something as well, so let me turn that over to him.
Well, what we've been finding out is that, again, the individual identity of every animal will always exist. Even though it may be part of a larger entity, the soul spark that made up that individual pet during the time it was on Earth never gets lost. And that's why it is accessible via whether mediumistic means or through dreams and so forth, where communication can result. Actually, in terms of what we're learning about the afterlife, is that there's, you know, this area where animals are, you know, that consciousness, the consciousness that is basically oriented towards the animal form, and they can be retrieved. There are specialists in the afterlife that actually can go and retrieve those animals, either for somebody that's living now still on Earth, or even if you're in the afterlife and you want to visit with those animals. They're always there, and they always will be there, and they have their own evolvement that they're going through as well.
Diane, is that ringing true for you?
Yeah, especially when, Dennis, when you were saying there's energy left over, kind of, you know, with every animal or person as well that's ever been here. Just to interject a little bit with what you said, Deborah, about sometimes people pick up other animals. There's something called an imprint. If there's a high energy connected to a space, it's almost like a loop. And you'll keep seeing the same thing. That's like when you see in hotels a certain animal or a certain person keep repeating the same action, like walking up the stairs. Or an animal that's not yours when you move into a home and you keep, you know, hearing scratching at the door or sensing, you know, the smell of a dog when you don't have one. It would be a connection to the energy of that space where that animal who crossed over that lived there or was connected to that area in some way. And that would be more of a loop. You would keep continuously seeing the same imprint over and over. And that's really, you know, when you get those kind of hauntings. I'm sure Dennis and Michelle, you've heard of and have stories like that that have come through, correct?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Wouldn't we call those like non-intelligent hauntings?
Yeah, thank you. I was just going to say, I know there's a word for it that I can't quite remember. I'm going with the imprint. But yeah, what is it called again?
Well, there's intelligent hauntings where there's a reaction to their environment, whether they're kicking toys around or responding to questions. And then there's like the imprint, which I call non-intelligent hauntings. Well, because it's as you said, it's like a videotape.
So exactly. Kind of like something, you know, burnt into the screen on your thing. But that's a perfect way of saying it, intelligent and non-intelligent. Lovely. I like that because I get that a lot with spirits when I'm talking to people. And I'm like, you know, we're just seeing, you're just experiencing kind of what I call, you know, ghost activity or paranormal as opposed to actually connecting with someone who's crossed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good way of putting it.
Right. And the conscious soul is actually left. It's already in the afterlife. It's basically left an energy fragment that stays
around. Yeah, nice. Yep. Now, did Dusty get a lot? Dusty, do you have any of those stories in Cat Ghost? In Ghost Cats?
Intelligent or non-intelligent?
Either. Did you get a sampling of both?
As a matter of fact, yes. There was one lady in Canada, and she was the head of a paranormal association. And she moved into a house where she would hear the cat, the ball, the toy. So she'd hear the little ringing from the cat ball, and that's all she ever got. So she believed that it was non-intelligent. So
yeah,
I like the one from your book, Dusty, where it's a little bit. I mean, it's grade two humor, kindergarten humor.
Oh,
but
I know which one you're talking about.
okay. They don't get to pet the cat. They don't get to see the cat. Oh no, the cat just takes a little dump in the pretend ghost litter box, so everybody gets to smell the cat poop. Isn't that a wonderful ghost habit? So that would be an unintelligent, I guess.
That's great.
It's a hilarious story. It's a, I think it's in Oregon or Washington State, somewhere in the Pacific region, and they have a bed and breakfast. And the bed and the building once the lady who belonged owned it before was the cat lady, and she had like 20 cats. They were all very well cared for, and after she died, the family found homes for them. Well, this family moves in, and they have two cats of their own, but the cats are confined to the private living area, the family's area, and not into the public area. And the wife started complaining to her husband that she would see a Siamese on the stairs, and she thought that the husband or the kids were being careless and letting the cats out. And then they started smelling the litter box, and it's just like a normal litter box. I mean, you know, the after it happens, you smell that.
Okay,
that
Dusty,
smell.
We're going to have to go to break on that stinky note. Thanks for letting us go with that. But we'll be back. We'll be back to talk more ghost stories, and maybe we can figure out a way with Diane to help you at home communicate with some of your lost pets. Maybe there's a way you can try. Okay, so yeah, that's a funny story with the poop. I can't imagine that you just smell it. And you can't clean your litter box enough. You're still going to smell cat poop. Okay, stay tuned. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back talking about more ghosts.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Amazing taste is in my bowl with super gravy now. Oh, once I thought dinner was dull, but now I'm howling wild.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And if you want to hear former shows I've done, All Paws Pet Talk Radio shows with Dusty, you want to hear me talking with Dusty a little more, you can go to DeborahWolfOnline.com and find my old shows there. But right now, we're doing a new show, fresh. All this stuff about spirits in the afterlife. We're talking with Michelle and Dennis from AfterlifeData.com and Diane Gianlorenzo, who's going to help us right now on reaching our pets, and Dusty Rainbolt, who's compiled a whole book called Ghost Cats, full of these types of stories, and she's collecting more stories. DustyCatWriter.com if you want to send her your dog, cat, horse, bird, whatever pet ghost story. She'll take it, and it might get published. So, Diane, if people are out there listening and they're thinking, you know, I really miss the dog I had when I was a child, is it too late? Is there some way they can reach out? I mean, you're saying the energy's always there. I don't really understand how that works if someone's reincarnated. Yeah. I don't get that. But how can we reach?
Change forms. That's all we're doing. When we cross over, we're just leaving this body and going back to a spirit form. So I get that question all the time. And obviously, I always want to tell people, we're all connecting all the time, but specifically for skills and a few techniques to communicate with a loved one who's passed over. One of the easiest things you would do if you're having a hard time doing it, and some people are just fortunate and already attuned, and they don't need to use techniques. They know they're connecting. You know, a lot of my clients tell me, you know, my mom came to me and said this or this, but I had another question that they couldn't get very clear. So one of the easiest techniques is always do it when you're tired, when you're like maybe right before you're going to bed. That's when you start to go into data state, that kind of sleepy state, but you're still awake. It's part of the, you know, one of the brain waves. And when you're there, that's when you can hold something of your pets, that of the loved one that's crossed over, of your pets that crossed over. Hold something that belonged to them, that was their favorite toy, their collar, their bowl, and simply get silent and just think in your head the intention of connecting with them. And you'll start to get visions or a feeling or like Dusty said, a smell or, you know, a touch. You got to discern it. It's very subtle at times.
Can it be a taste?
I
think I've had taste before.
You just want to listen.
Could it be a taste? Because I think I've had taste before.
That's clairvoyant. Yeah, sometimes you can actually, you'll see like a movie screen in your head, or just like you said, just get a face maybe floating there. Absolutely. But it's going to be, usually you just want to kind of get still. And what always helps, one of the biggest things when you're starting out, and I teach classes on this, is do it when you're tired. It's one of the easiest ways to do it. Anything close to water, and a lot of people have these experiences in the shower or in the bathtub or when they're swimming or something. Water is a very good conduit of spiritual energy, and it's very easy to pick up images and feelings and connect with the other side whilst around it.
I would like to open this up to Dennis and Michelle, because I know they've got a new project going that kind of taps into this need people have to try and reach their own animals. So would you like to talk about that a bit, Michelle and Dennis?
Sure. The program is a program that we created to expand the information on afterlifedata.com, and it's called Voices Across the Veil, and that can be found at voicesacrosstheveil.com. And these are small group mediumistic sessions with world-class mediums that we've put together. And the mediums have agreed to do it at a lesser cost than they normally would. And people can join online for a small fee and get readings. And they can connect to people that they have lost, to animals.
So it's not just dogs and cats, though. It's people, too. It's horses. Dusty, I know you've got some non-cat, non-dog stories in your collection.
Mm-hmm. I do. The most fascinating story I ever got, I think, was a horse story. And the lady would traditionally go on a Christmas Day ride with her horse. And the Christmas after she died, she heard the jingle bells in the tack room. So yes, I have all kinds of different species.
Oh, that's a pretty one, but chilling a little bit. So what happens, what if you are trying to do this, Diane? What do you tell people to, and they get scared? Or if children are scared, if children have an encounter and they don't know how to deal with it? When my son was very little, about a year after my squeaky monkey Blue Heeler passed, he came running in one night and was scared, had a nightmare, and was in the bed. And then in the morning, he said, "Why was Squeak under the bed last night?" Now, he wasn't scared of Squeak. He was scared of a nightmare. But he saw her, and then he said, "And why didn't she have her head?" So that didn't scare him either, but he seemed to have seen just her body under the bed.
Sure.
You know, what happens if you have a kid encounter something like that and he is scared? I didn't know how to explain it. I explained it with questions. What do you think it is? What do you think?
There you go. Yeah, you know? And every time. Yeah, like everything, you don't want to throw fear into it. And even with adults, I tell them, if you have fear, that is an energy, and you're going to attract that. But if you don't, and kids don't generally, they don't start off with fear. It's usually put into them in some way. So if you curb that a little bit, like you did by asking questions, you don't make it fearful. You know, Native Americans are just one group that are raised at their grandfather's knee with accepting spirit as guides, and especially ancestors that have passed over. And like Michelle was talking about, totem animals, spirit guides, animal guides as well. that are not actually physically in a body, but there's nothing scary about it. So it's just how you present it. I love that you did questions. I tell people sometimes to, you know, you might want to show kids pictures. Like, well, if, you know, one child was telling the mother that she saw a really scary witch. And the mother was frantic. Oh, what do? The house is haunted. You know, I didn't feel anything. I said, the house mm-hmm. is not haunted. I'm not feeling a witch. I'm feeling a woman that hung herself. So, but because she had really dark hair, the child was perceiving it as a witch. It was scary. The child was feeling the death, you know. So I said, well, show them pictures of, you know, a lady, you know, with black hair. And that's what helped. And it was just like, well, this lady was very sad. But you know, she's still hanging around, but she's not a witch. So a lot of times children will associate it with something, as well as adults, that come through, you know, they're quick thinking, like black hair was a witch. But when you get down to it, like you did with questions, it's not scary.
Diane, I have to cut you off there. We have to go to break. We're going to come back, and I want to find out more about this distinction you've all hit on, except Dusty, but Dusty probably will too, the distinction between totem animals and actual animals and animals who've passed and their ghosts, because I'm still not quite clear on all that. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make-sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net. Where dog whisperers are trained.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and, I love
and you know that
Hello! We're here on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I hope the audience realizes how much self-control this is requiring of me. I just want to ask Dusty about my gray cat that's missing, and I just want to ask Diane about my gray cat that's missing, and I'm holding off. I know she's here, and I know Dusty could give me training tips on how to catch her, and Diane could tell me more about how she knows the difference between a cat that's truly missing and a cat that's just decided not to come home till the rain comes, which that's probably what's going on. It's been very hot and sunny in my part of the rainforest, so she's probably just enjoying it. But I'm not. Instead, I'm going to ask Michelle and Dennis, what is the difference between a totem animal and a ghost animal? Because are they the same thing? Is it an animal, like, is it my old wise dog, Mike, who passed, now deciding to guide nice people? Or no, there's no connection.
Well, you know, a totem animal is an animal that's going to come to you specifically for helping you to understand something in your life. Like, for example, I know for a fact that one of my totem animals is a brown bear. And the symbolic meaning behind a bear is, you know, bravery, peace, resurrection, it's powerful. There's a whole load of things.
And the importance of napping, definitely, finding a good, secure home. No, bears are very particular, right? They're very odd species. They have this whole psyche that's different from everyone. Not everybody hibernates for winter. I mean, they eat, they gorge, right? And then they fast. I mean, they're really different, bears.
Yes, they are.
That's an interesting one. So what are they teaching you, the bear?
Oh, well, you know, of course, you know, with bears, it has a lot to do with patience. And there's the whole idea of motherhood in there, too. And those are definitely two of the things that I've learned and changed over time. You know, having been a mother and continue to be a mother for five children, actually, you know, there's a whole different...
How could you miss one? You're going to be in trouble. Uh-oh.
No. It's because he's my stepson, and okay. I love him to death. We don't see him very often, so, you know. But he's a wonderful man now. You know, the way I treated my children, say, you know, 30 years ago is different than how I'm treating them now. And, you know, how I interact with them and what I'm teaching them. For example, you know, one of the things that, you know, I didn't have a lot of patience when I was younger. Of course, this is probably true for a lot of people, mm-hmm. but that was one of the big things. You know, I always wanted everything done right away, you know, do it now, and, you know, don't talk back to me. Now I'm not quite so much that way. You know, I tend to be a little bit more patient. And I think Bear has taught me how to do that.
You know, I just want to say one thing. When bears fish, they catch 1 out of 8. So they miss 7 times, and yet they keep going. So that's pretty patient. Okay, Dennis, help us understand this totem animal spirit distinction, if you would.
Yeah, the way I understand it, in terms of like a ghost, it's going to be the individual identity of the animal that existed on Earth, whereas a totem is the representation of bareness, the consciousness mm-hmm. that is taking the form of all bears. And in some respect, it's at a higher level, and that's the teacher. Though, of course, you know, the individual animals, the individual identities that you knew can also be teachers as well. But the totem is at a higher consciousness level.
Does that ring true for you, Diane, how they're explaining this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that Michelle said bear because I live in Florida. And the day I moved in this house, the totem of bear was with me. I bought one at a yard sale, and it was just sitting there. So they don't, you know, have to come to you physically, obviously. But I kept looking for one. I always knew there was going to be one in my yard, which sounded ridiculous because I live in a residential area. About a month ago, one walked by my side window, a real one. And I had the pleasure of saying, thank you. And like Michelle said, you know, the Native American tradition, they call them bear because it's called bear medicine or raccoon medicine, which is a distant relative. But it's just a stronger version when I actually saw the physical one walk by where there's never been one in this neighborhood, as opposed to just, you know, always knowing it was there. But they can come to you in many ways. And like Dennis said, when the totem is more of all the aspects of what bear, the animal, would embody. You know, okay. Like Ted Andrews says in Animal Speak, his well-known book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Dusty, have you got anything to add to this topic?
You know what? No, I don't, because I really don't know anything about totems. As far as I know, I've never experienced that. So I am going to defer to the other experts.
Well, I'm wondering how often people are mistaking a totem for a ghost. Like how, because to me, there's not a, I get that one is sort of the symbolization, the exemplification of the qualities of a species. And then you use that as a guide in crises you're having or in situations you're having. But I don't, if I see a wolf looking at me, how do I know it's not an actual wolf or a wolf ghost, or if a bear walks by my window, is that a real bear or a totem bear or a ghost bear? I mean, that's my problem. How do I tell the difference, guys? Help me out here.
Can I say something to that?
Yeah, sure.
Everything you just said, it's all right. If you're seeing even a wolf that's a real wolf that was your neighbor's, you know, hybrid dog.
Right.
But he passed over. It still means that the wolf energy is coming to you, and you should pay attention to its aspects and its personalities. And like Ted Andrews, again, I just, you know, one of the biggest books that are referenced usually with totems, says pay attention always what you're seeing or feeling with that animal. So it's not necessarily matters if it's actually, you know, someone you knew or not. It's still that vision or feeling is coming to you, that energy is coming to you as a message as well. Everything's messages.
So it doesn't matter is what you're saying. It's all the same, really.
It doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter.
Oh, wow. I knew you would blow my mind at some time during this interview. It just happened. Okay. Who's next?
I definitely have to agree. You know, Ted Andrews' books are really amazing, and I use them a lot for reference because oftentimes during my Reiki sessions, I have animals appearing, and I will ask the person who I'm with and doing the Reiki session for, you know, what does this mean to you? Does it mean anything in particular? And if not, we will look it up and say, okay, you know, how does that connect to your life situation right now?
Okay, yeah, everyone, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but we have run out of time. We've done 5 segments. Can't believe it. Michelle and Dennis, if you want more, if you want to know more about afterlifedata.com, check it out. And Diane Gianlorenzo at dianegianlorenzo.com to get a reading or to find out more from her. Dusty Rainbolt, if you've got a naughty cat or a ghost pet story to contribute, DustyCatWriter.com. And me, well, you know where to find me on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, every week. So until next week, be good to your animals.
Oh.